This is a Swedish Montessori podcast, and after a short introduction in Swedish, the rest of the episode will follow in English. Välkommen till Montessori-podden. Idag ska vi prata Montessori-forskning. I höstas kom en stor metastudie ut om Montessori-forskning och hur, som visar hur väl Montessori-pedagogiken egentligen fungerar. Den har det långa namnet Montessori's Education's Impact on Academic and Non-Academic Outcomes, a Systematic Review. Och i dagens avsnitt av Montessori-podden har jag samtalat med huvudförfattaren Justus Randolph, och med sig har han även Warren McPherson, en erfaren Montessori-pedagog. Justus går igenom vad en metastudie är och hur man ska tolka resultaten i just den här. Och Warren bistår med lite intressanta synpunkter från ett Montessori-perspektiv. För er som blir intresserade av att läsa hela metastudien så länkar vi till den i texten som hör till avsnittet. Jag heter Maria Schacki och gör denna podd för Montessori Sverige. God lyssning. Welcome to the Montessori podcast, Warren McPherson and Justus Randolph.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me get started with, well, actually you two introducing yourself and your background in Montessori and research. Warren, why don't you start?
I became interested in education while I was at college, but when I visited the education courses, I wasn't impressed. And so I did a year of independent study in which I happened upon I did some work in Liberty, Mississippi with junior high and high school students who had had a very poor exposure in their educational experience. And then I did a year of independent study and happened upon Montessori. My plan at that time was to start with the youngest children, Montessori, and work my way up then to the older students so that I would understand all the phases of development. Well, guess what happened? I fell in love with 3 to 6 year olds and spent 25 years with them. But in addition, I founded a school which grew from 15 students to almost 150. And from ages 3 to 6 to then to age 14. And I also participated in teacher training. And in conferences and keynote, and so and in consulting with schools. So I'm very close to the 3 to 6 year old child, and as the director of the Athens Montessori School for 40 years, I'm familiar with all of the levels up to high school.
And this is not Athens, Greece, but Athens,
Georgia.
Georgia. Okay. Just to make that clear.
Yeah.
It's famous for being the home of the band called R.E.M.
Oh.
It's the end of the world as we know it. You know that one?
Yeah. That's the claim to fame. Justice, then, who are you?
I'm currently a professor in the Georgia Baptist School of Nursing at Mercer University. However, when I started this review, it was about 10 years ago, I was a professor in the Faculty of Education at Mercer. So this has been quite a long research project for me, probably the longest of my career and the most difficult. My background is not in nursing, but rather statistics and research methodology. Probably my specialty within research and statistics is a field called meta-analysis, which is what we did with this review. And it's a process of taking individual studies and combining them and to figure out what is the overall effect over across the set of published research studies for Montessori.
Yeah, let's just let's just dive right into that then. What is, because the name of this study or review is Montessori Education's Impact on Academic and Non-Academic Outcomes, a Systematic Review. Short and easy title. But it's a meta-study. And can you just give our listeners a brief explanation about what is a meta-study and what sets it apart from a single study or a review?
A good quote I heard about meta-analysis is that individual studies, they'll take stones and they'll throw them on the pile. But a meta-analyst comes and they take those stones and those individual studies and they build a house in, house out of it. That's something that makes sense. They give sense to this individual studies. And the word meta-analysis, you know, it's kind of like above is what meta means. So we take a bird's eye view of all of the published studies and try to make sense of them. In one way, we describe the studies, we describe the research methods that happens in those studies. But what we look at primarily is we look at the outcomes of those studies, but we group the like outcomes, and then we come up with what's called an effect size, or that's the level of the magnitude of the effect, or in this case, it's the degree to which Montessori education outperforms traditional education.
So is this the first meta-study about Montessori, or has anything like this been done before?
There have been some other systematic reviews, but they've been lacking. They're sort of narrative reviews, and they don't have that meta-analytic component, which is the statistical component. So that's what's new about this study. We also used a very rigorous organization to help us with the study, the Campbell collaboration. But I was very glad to see about the same time that we were publishing this meta-analysis that another meta-analysis from a group of French researchers came out on the same topic. Sometimes some researchers would be mad that that happened, like they got scooped or somebody beat them to their findings. But I was so happy because for me, replication is the cornerstone of science. And comparing our effect sizes to their effect sizes, they were very, very similar. So that's when I really start to believe in the findings. I don't believe anything from a single study. I start to believe the results of several studies together, like we did in this meta-analysis. And I really start to believe when there are multiple independent meta-analyses and research groups who are coming across the same finding.
I think this is an important point about a meta-study versus a single study or even several single studies, how, because this is something you read about in the newspaper, oh, a new study show that blah, blah, blah. And it particularly in education or even health, you see these and, you know, 10 people ate this kind of vegetable and what do you know? And I think this kind of topic, like we say today, that, well, one study doesn't really mean anything. But when you get several, or like you'd say, put them together in a meta study, well, then we can start talking.
I start to believe when we have lots of meta studies. And with lots of studies and particularly meta studies. The good thing about meta studies, too, is it's takes a long time for a practitioner to understand and find these individual studies. So these meta studies are good at bridging the research to practice. Like, I would love it if this study helps parents decide whether to put their children in Montessori education or not. It might help education leaders and political funders to make decisions about the value of Montessori, not only in the private setting, but also in the public Montessori setting.
So how did you start? We have 32 studies in the meta study, but I'm guessing you did not start with 32 studies.
But we have, when we do a Campbell review, we have to hire recruit an information retrieval expert. So like somebody who's a fantastic librarian in finding scientific studies. So then that person looks at all of the most likely places where there would be Montessori and educational studies, like in the academic databases. We look in what's called for the gray literature. We look for conference proceedings. We look in the internet and Google Scholar. So we really try to cover all the areas and find a set of keywords that will bring out all of these meta studies. And so once we did that keyword search, we came up with about 2,000 articles just after reading the titles and reading the abstracts. There were 2,000 that we thought might fit our criteria for inclusion. That means the studies that are relevant enough to this meta-analysis that we'd include them. So we started with 2,000. We had a great group of researchers who would then read those 2,000 articles and decide whether they will meet the criteria or not. So we went through this process of paring down the articles till we got down to 32 articles that met our high quality standards. And within those 32 articles, some articles might have multiple effect sizes, or they might measure multiple outcomes. So even though there are 32 studies in this meta-analysis, there are 204 effect sizes. There are 204 statistical results reported that we were interested in.
And in the results, you group the results in academic and non-academic. Can you explain what is academic results and what is non-academic results?
10 years ago, it was hard for us to make guesses about what would be the important academic outcomes or non-academic. So we just started looking at the outcomes and trying to make sense out of the outcomes and how we should group them together. And like you said, it was obvious that there were outcomes reported in two types of categories. One was academic outcomes. The other one was non-academic outcomes. So it turns out that there were 5 academic outcomes. General academic ability, which might be like a standardized test that measures something like IQ, Stanford-Binet, those sorts of tests. We had tests or outcomes about language or literacy. We had mathematics. We had science, and we had social studies. So when you look at the Montessori literature, those were the types of outcomes that were reported on the most. And it varies a lot, like the social studies outcome. It only had one study for that outcome. Other outcomes like language or literacy had 16. And altogether, there were 24 studies that dealt with academic outcomes. And we have a separate category for all of these outcomes when they're combined. So we'll also be talking about combined academic outcomes.
And then the non-academic outcome.
So we had 4 non-academic outcomes. Creativity, executive function, inner experience of school, and social or behavioral skills.
Can you explain those for a little bit? The others, I mean, mathematics, fine. But these non-academics, can you tell me a little bit more about the meaning of those?
Well, certainly. I'm going to have our theoretician help us a little bit here because I think he's really the expert about the educational interpretation of some of these outcomes. And what I can give you, too, are the names of some of the measures that were for these used for these outcomes if we have to. I think creativity is somewhat an easy one.
Yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah,
and we know what social or behavioral skills are. But I think the one that might be, the two that might be difficult to interpret are executive function and the inner experience of school. And Warren, I was wondering if you could help us explain to listeners what those two might mean.
Well, the executive function, which we discussed a little bit ahead of time, are skills that are used to manage thoughts, feelings, and behaviors in order to achieve goals. And importantly, goals chosen by self and for self. And I think that's one of the major things that Maria Montessori got right, is she designed a self-directed form of education. When you think about the fact that the traditional education is pursuing the goals of the teacher, you're really not developing, according to this definition, the executive function, that is, of choosing for the self, assessing for the self, setting goals for the self. And so, again, that's what one of the major contrasts with Montessori education is, the fact that it is self-directed, that it is a rich environment in which children choose their activity beginning at age three. And in that sense, I think they reinforce their executive function. It's interesting that, and often difficult for people to understand because of the difference in vocabulary, social skills. Maria Montessori called it, guess what? Peace education.
Hmm.
And so, but what she meant by peace education was the self-conscious exploration of community, both the classroom designed as a community, and then comparing that to other cultures and contrasting it with other cultures. So really her social-emotional development was in the self-examination, which Montessori classes did as when they came together in group. And it was also in establishing the values of appreciation for other cultures and of peace. So, again, sometimes it's hard for people to realize that Maria Montessori's peace education was, in fact, social emotional development.
And then the other one,
inner experience.
Yes.
This, too, is related to, I think, the fact that in Montessori education, children are free to choose and they construct themselves. So rather than comparing themselves to others, so that if I get the A, then you end up with the B, you know, that kind of, I think there's something profoundly implicit in that, in the grade competitive business. Not that there isn't a time for that later on when you're more advanced in a field. But if you look at our cultures, they're based on a scarcity. Only so many can be rich. Only so many can be this. Only so many can be that. And the fact is, we have enough resources, enough food, enough nature is bountiful. And if we relate it to nature and its bounty, and if we relate it to culture and beauty and its unlimited expression, then guess what? We wouldn't be warring, fighting each other over what this should be and what it shouldn't be. And so I think implicit in the awarding of grades is economics of scarcity. And that's a scary, I think, underlying philosophy. And I think it interferes with, you know, the personal experience. Justice, do you have anything to add to the inner experience?
No, I think that was a good description of it. I could add some of the types of measures that were in inner experience of school. And like one is sort of affect in school, or another synonym might be satisfaction with schooling.
Hmm.
Like, how do you feel when you're at school?
Yeah. Do you actually like going there? Are you fine at school? Do you like your school? Yeah. So the results then, grouped into academic and non-academic, what can be seen about the results in respective? I mean, this is the core. What are the results?
That's right. So to be able to talk about the results, well, I need to be able to talk about an effect size.
Yes, please.
The statistic we used for the effect size was a standardized mean difference effect size, one that's called Hedges G. And Hedges G works in such a way that if the value of Hedges G is zero, if the effect size is zero, that means that Montessori and traditional education, they performed exactly the same. If Hedges G is positive, and to the degree that it's positive, that means that Montessori education performed better. And then if that effect size is negative, that means that traditional students performed better. And so these effect sizes, like, for example, the effect size for all academic outcomes was 0.24. That means it's positive. It was in favor of Montessori education. Another way to think about it is 0.24 means that Montessori students performed 0.24, or about a quarter of a standard deviation higher than traditional students. Some ways to think about this is you can convert these types of effect sizes to what are called grade level equivalents. So an effect size of 0.24, like for academic outcomes, in grade one, that equals about 2 months of instruction.
Wow.
So another way to think about it is that Montessori students were ahead in grade one of traditional students by 1 month. For academic outcomes, that was about a third of a standard deviation. So I think from memory, that non-academic students or non-academic outcomes put Montessori students about half of a year, half of a school year in front of their traditional counterparts. And I just would like to read this list of effect sizes for academic outcomes. So for all academic outcomes combined, the effect size was 0.24, meaning a quarter of a standard deviation, or about 2 months ahead. For general academic ability, it's like IQ, general intelligence, 0.26. For language literacy, 0.17, 0.22, 0.15 for science, or sorry, 0.22 was mathematics, and social studies was 0.05. That was the lowest one. But social studies only had one study with it. So I think what's important when we look at those numbers is that they're all positive. They consistently favor Montessori. And then the outcomes are, the effect size, you could interpret them as small if they were laboratory type experiments. But if you put it into the actual educational setting, we can see that these are meaningful effect sizes in terms of how large they are. You know, somewhere like a 2 month gain above other students, for example. The U.S. Department of Education says an effect size of 0.25 is substantively important. So another way to say it is, I think we have consistently important effect sizes in favor of Montessori for academic outcomes. Now, switching to non-academic outcomes, the effect sizes are even greater. So for all non-academic outcomes combined, the effect size was 0.33, or they Montessori students performed about a third of a standard deviation better. And I think it's about half of a school year ahead in terms of non-academic outcomes. For creativity, it was 0.26. For executive function, it was 0.36. For inner experience of school, it was 0.41. And for social skills, it was 0.23. So again, we see large and important effect sizes, the magnitude of them. And we see that every single effect size is consistently in favor of Montessori education. We also see that the non-academic effects were greater than the academic effects.
And I would like to add, Justice, that creativity is valued and required more in our accelerated culture. And in large studies that were done of just the creativity, it was seen that the creative level of students was actually near 100% at the kindergarten age and went down every year thereafter. That they were in, these were in public school settings, in traditional settings. So although it doesn't relate to Montessori, I think that one of the things that has to be fixed in traditional education, so-called, is the nurturing of creativity and maybe keeping closer watch on creativity. If you talk to businessmen and scientists and others, they will tell you that in order to work in today's system view of life and interdisciplinary fields of study and advanced technology, you need to have a creative edge.
Sure.
The fact that our standard education diminishes creativity, and that's been well demonstrated and measured and tested, would tell you that you need to do something different. And I think Montessori takes care of that problem by allowing the nurturing of creativity.
You talked about the younger children in the results. Do you see a difference between the preschool students and the elementary students? Is there a difference when it comes to the outcome?
Yeah, that's a great question. We were able to also do a subgroups analysis and look at the different age groups for academic effect sizes. Montessori was most effective for elementary school students. Their effect size for academics was 0.36, or a third of a standard deviation. And it was lower for preschool and high school and middle school. I can get into more details, but I think it's just important to know that it worked best for the Montessori environment in academics and also for in non-academics. Non-academics, the effect size for elementary school was 0.26.
Why do you think that is? That it's the outcome is better in with the younger children?
Keep in mind that Maria Montessori, although she created a framework, a psychology and philosophy of academics and work for middle school and high school students, the specifics of that are highly varied across the Montessori practice because different Montessorians have taken those guidelines and developed specific curriculums and specific practices. So the middle school is actually comparatively young, and there are comparatively few of them. Keep in mind that the elementary and primary have been evolving for many, many, many decades, and they've been refined over the course of that time. And for the first several decades, they had Maria Montessori's direct supervision, whereas the middle school and the high school curriculums, although they aspire to be true to the philosophy of Montessori and to the guidelines she developed, are actually still in some places and in an experimental stage.
Even if all Montessori schools do vary, these for the older children vary more.
Correct.
Mm.
And there are relatively few of them. And so I suspect there are relatively few studies, right, Justice? For the middle school and high school students. And so, I don't think we have a true measure. Although, in some ways, I wish I documented the success of our graduates because I consistently not only find them successful academically and personally, but also find that they meet the other goal of Maria Montessori, which is to be in service to humankind. So they're doctors and teachers and professors, and if they're lawyers, they're environmental lawyers. And so I find a consistency, again, small sample, not proof, that among my personal experience with graduates, that they are very much inclined to highly productive in terms of society vocations.
One question that comes to my mind now is quite often when you speak about the results in all kinds of schools that function outside of the public school system, you hear the argument that, yeah, well, of course, you have students whose parents have been choosing this school, therefore the student body from the start is something else. It's easier to work with. You have a academic parents, blah, 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 etc. How do you adjust for those kind of entry levels within this study? But technically, Justice, how do you go about this question when you construct a meta-study?
That was a very, very good question. And I think one of the strengths of this review is we're able to deal with that threat. We call it selection bias.
Exactly.
Where one of the groups might be inclined to do better anyway on these outcomes.
Mm.
So we set an important inclusion criteria for these studies that that we needed to have baseline equivalency, some measure of baseline equivalency between the two groups, meaning that the traditional students and the Montessori students, they were, you know, equally inclined to do well on the outcomes. And so we established baseline equivalency in a number of ways. One is that it was a true experiment. Dr. Lillard has some great examples of true experiments with waiting lists. So there would be a group of students, all of whom wanted to be in Montessori education, but there wasn't enough spaces for everybody to get in. So they would randomly choose from people on the waiting list to be either assigned to the Montessori instruction group, or those people who didn't, there wasn't enough room and they got into a traditional education group. So that way the biases should kind of equal out through this process of randomization.
Hmm.
That's one way. That's a true experiment. Another way is that many researchers, they would give a pretest. So, for example, if the outcome was mathematics, they would give a pretest to an existing group of traditional students and Montessori students, and they would demonstrate that those students were equally inclined towards mathematics, good mathematics outcome. In addition to that, a lot of researchers, they would take the pretest and they would make a statistical adjustment. So let's say that the traditional students were maybe like 10 points, they fell 10 points less on their pretest compared to Montessori students. So then what a lot of researchers would do is statistically adjust for that and maybe give the, adjust it so that the traditional Montessori students, they get an additional 10 points counted towards their pretest. It's sort of like when you're playing a sports game and you give a little bit of a handicap to one group to make it fair. So those were the main ways that we were able to deal with that selection.
So in short, that has been taken care of within the study.
I like how you said that. We took care of it. And if it didn't meet those criteria, we just left it out of the study.
Within the results, the difference between public Montessori school and non-public Montessori schools, what did you see there?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting one. And so I don't know in Europe, but at least there's a very big movement here for publicly funded Montessori. And there's a big debate about how much money should go to public Montessori. So we wanted to ask that question, to what degree is private Montessori better than traditional education? And also, to what degree is public Montessori better than traditional public education? In both cases, we found that that Montessori performs better than public education. It turns out that for non-academic effect sizes, private Montessori performs quite a bit better. The effect size for private Montessori was 0.243. The effect size for public Montessori was 0.26, less than 0.243. So private Montessori effects were about double for non-academic outcome compared to public Montessori. For academic outcomes, we saw a similar result, but it wasn't as pronounced. Private Montessori's effect size was 0.28. The public Montessori's effect size was 0.13 points less than that, or 0.28. So again, public Montessori did about half as well as private Montessori.
But still better than traditional.
Yeah, still yeah. quite a bit better than traditional. That their effect size, just public Montessori alone on academic, was 0.15.
There is a debate in Sweden right now that made me think about this topic, because we have sometimes, you know, when you have problems within this public school with results, etc., and you try from the authority, from the government and Department of Education to find solutions for these problems, they tend to result in restrictions, giving no freedom to do anything any other way because they want to fix the problem. And my fear is that those solutions will make it difficult or even more difficult for us to function because they are clipping our wings.
You are exactly right, because teachers talk about executive function. What executive function can a teacher model if they're in that, what you described, where they are restricted and prescribed and not trusted? How can they be a model for self-directed self-construction?
What were your thoughts within the study about this difference between public and non-public Montessori?
My hypothesis is that public and private Montessori would perform better than traditional. I was surprised that private Montessori was so much higher on non-academic outcomes than academic outcomes. And it sort of makes me wonder the degree to which the core idea or the core effectiveness of Montessori is in its non-academic outcomes, its soft skills. You know, it performs well in both, but it seems to be performing well in those non-academic soft areas like creativity and inner experience, executive function, social and behavioral skills. I thought that was very interesting.
And keep in mind that there have been studies done which show that strength in social, emotional, and skills is a better predictor of success in life and long-term achievement than academic grades.
Of course.
That's been tested.
Yeah. Within these studies, I read somewhere that you grouped the schools according to what end they stayed true to the Montessori core principles, etc. Within the schools, what differences could you see that regarded to how, whether they applied the method thoroughly and or not? Could you see any differences there, or what?
This one was a really difficult part of the study, because different researchers, they would report on their treatment implementation. They would report on their Montessori implementation to varying degrees. We were able to look at the different studies and then make categories for these different degrees and say how many studies fell into each group. Unfortunately, we weren't able to use this grouping into statistical analysis, but we would love to see that in the future, because if Montessori were working well, what you would see is that the studies that have greater implementation fidelity, they would have greater effect sizes. In studies that don't implement Montessori as well, they would have smaller effect sizes. That would be another way to establish evidence for causality. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. We were only able to describe. But I can tell you a little bit about those descriptions. Like, we had 32 studies. So 10 of those studies, they had high, what we consider, implementation fidelity. And I should also note that Angeline Lillard, one of the main experts in the Montessori field. She was the one who made these categories, so I think her expertise lends a little bit of credibility to this too. So there were 10 studies that were rated high. And, you know, if you went in, they were followed very closely to the AMI or AMS standards. Below that, there were 6 studies that are kind of medium quality. Maybe they didn't completely all of the time fulfill those standards. 7 were considered low. 4 were considered to have on just add-on bits of Montessori, like maybe it'd be traditional instruction, then they would have 1 Montessori element included. We call those added studies. And then there were 5 that were just not able to be determined. That's a description I would love in the future to be able to.
Yeah. But your study right now does not provide an answer to that as it is today.
Yeah, we were just able to describe what happened, but not able to link that description or that variable with outcomes. So another thing that we don't know, because we weren't able to carefully look at the treatment implementation, is we don't know if Montessori, it works as a system, or if there are certain parts of Montessori that make it effective. So the question is, like, could you use this one part of Montessori only, or this one part, or is it a whole system where if you take out elements of the system, the whole system is going
to... Yeah, if you would have to choose 1 or 2 things, 1 or 2 elements, what would it be? You don't have an answer to that question yet.
Yeah, I would love to have that answer.
Yeah. The results then, what do you think this meta-study does not provide any good answers to? What question marks do you still have?
That's a good one. So I'll start from the empirical viewpoint. One is that I think it's very important to causally establish what's called a dosage response with the treatment effect. So I would love to see in the future some studies that that look at the degree to which Montessori was implemented with fidelity. And if Montessori is working well and it causes, there's a good causal connection, you'd expect a dosage response, or you'd expect the level of treatment of Montessori, the level of fidelity, to be strongly correlated with outcomes. Good, highly well-implemented studies should have high effect sizes, and low fidelity studies should have low effect sizes. And I think it also, part of that question is the nature of Montessori. Is it a system, or does it have components? And future research might look at whether this component of Montessori is what makes it effective and not this one, or this one is twice as effective. Or if it doesn't work at all like that, maybe it's this complex system that you can't have separate components. It needs to be all together. That'd be something great to answer about Montessori. And then the final one is, Montessori, as I understand the original idea, is that it was supposed to work really well for disadvantaged students. So in this study, because of quality of reporting, we weren't able to break students or these studies down into different students, or whether they're disadvantaged or not disadvantaged. But I think that would be a great follow-up question for the future.
And that's really, like you said, something to look into. And I think the neuroscience is coming now.
Fascinating.
And I think that discipline within the science could possibly answer some of these questions.
I would love to see, Solange's work is great. There's a lot of room for Montessori research to improve. I think Liller studies are very great because she accounts for that baseline equivalency or that selection bias. So I would like to see more studies like that with randomization. That's really going to help. Studies that look at treatment implementation. And I love these neurological or brain-based outcomes. that Solange is doing. So we're in a kind of an exciting time for Montessori.
Mm. And I think when people, researchers from other fields like neuroscience with Solange or the historians like Erika Moretti and others are coming in, that's when it's really starting to become interesting, where you don't have people, well, Solange is a Montessori teacher from start, but when you don't, when you have researchers in other fields come in and they're not within the bubble, that's when it becomes really interesting.
Yeah, when you have this diversity of ideas and disciplines coming into Montessori.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And I think with these two high-quality meta-analyses replicating, it's a great time for people to do Montessori research. I think you can get, there's a good evidence to get funding because we know it works from these meta-analyses. But then there are these specific questions and new outcomes and new chances for diversity of thinking from these disciplines. It's a wonderful time to be a Montessori researcher. Well, I guess it's probably always been a great time to be a Montessori practitioner.
I would also like to add, as a Montessori educator for 50 years and doing all the consulting and evaluating and teacher training, that as far as the authenticity, I could go into a classroom because of the importance of what's called the prepared environment at Montessori. And before the children came back to the class or entered the class, I could tell you how it was going to go. I shouldn't brag, but it as far as authenticity, if you've had a long experience with it, you can very quickly, in a single observation and through careful study of the prepared environment, you know how successful that class is going to be in your write-up. And as I say, that's impertinent to to research, you know, but I have to say it's very apparent. I think Montessori has not done as much research because they didn't rely on standardized tests to measure their outcomes.
Sure.
And teachers and schools who implemented authentically knew in their hearts and minds that it was working. And I think that's why I and many other teachers in Montessori never grow weary or tired. I mean, I taught for 25 years with 3 to 6 year olds. I had oversized classes. I had what's called atypical classes, in that I would have equal number of children. I mean, I would have older children who didn't start at the beginning and all of that. And with all of those complications, I found that by focusing on the authentic implementation, that they were successful every time.
So to sum this up, what's your takeaway from this study, from the work with this study? What have you learned and what do you take away? Warren, you can start.
Well, as I say, I'm not surprised that Montessori showed significant outcomes. I'm not surprised that the suggestion is, although it needs further study, that the authenticity of the program had a lot to do with those outcomes. And so I would like to see, just as you were discussing, further study of authentic models. And I believe that Paula Polk Lillard is doing that, further studies confirm what are the authentic practices and what are their yields as compared to everything that's called Montessori, even if maybe it does not follow fundamental guidelines and practices of Montessori.
What's your takeaway, Justice, after all of this, after the 10 years of work with the study?
The takeaway is, I'm glad it's done. That's my personal one.
Hmm?
I'm glad that it's finished. I have to say, I'm a very skeptical scientist, very conservative, and even using those skeptical conservative values, I've come to believe that Montessori works. I've come to believe it's effective. I don't believe single studies. I don't even believe a large set of single studies. But when you start doing a meta-analysis and you see the same things over and over and over, and then especially as a scientist, when things replicate with an independent research group, I tend to believe it works. And one thing that surprised me is when I look at a lot of educational interventions, it's usually slightly in favor of the intervention, and you'll see outcomes that are, some are negative, some will be positive. They usually hover around 0 or 0.1, 0.5, things like that. But this one unambiguously shows that Montessori works pretty well. All the outcomes were consistent. They were consistently high. And one thing we haven't really talked about is the quality of evidence. So in this Campbell reviews, you rate not only like what the magnitude was, but how confident you are in that magnitude. And so for a lot of these outcomes, we had high quality of evidence, meaning that it's able to be believed with some certainty. Like we looked at the risk of bias and other things. It was a very comprehensive review. So taking everything into consideration, Montessori works, and I'm a skeptic.
Montessori works, but that sort of sums up the whole review that you have contributed to, that Montessori works. Thank you for the talk, Justice and Warren. It was great having you on the podcast.
Likewise, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I always love to talk Montessori and research, and you let me do that. I appreciate it. Two of my passions.
Tack för att du har lyssnat. Montessori-podden produceras för Montessori förskolor och skolor i Sverige AB. Du kan läsa mer om oss på www.montessorisverige.se. När du har lyssnat, ge gärna podden ett betyg i din poddspelare och glöm inte att följa Montessori-podden på Facebook eller Instagram.